Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Jill Ajizi, and this is Family Matters, and I am so glad that you're all listening tonight. This is an exciting show. One of my favorite things is shoes. And tonight, we're going to be talking about the Shoe Garden and other shoe stories, the Shoe Banter Collection. I'm so excited about this book. It's an outstanding, whimsical, fun, perky children's book written by Joyce Fishman and Brenda Finney, and their two sisters who are here to tell us about what's going on. Before we get to them, I want to tell you a couple of things about what's happening nationwide. Of course, we know this show was born out of parental alienation, and we have Parental Alienation Awareness Day coming up April 25th. So everybody in your area, you need to look for a place to host your Bubbles of Love event, where everybody's blowing bubbles worldwide to signify the love we have for our children. So if you need to know how to plan an event for the Parental Alienation Awareness Day Bubbles of Fun campaign, please contact me or Wendy Archer on Facebook at the Parental Alienation Awareness Organization USA North Texas chapter page. My God, I'm glad she doesn't have a name tag, because that would be the biggest name tag ever. But Wendy knows exactly how to put it together, and she will give you her plan on how to have a very successful Parental Alienation Awareness Day campaign. It's an exciting day. And why we do it is so that the media picks it up, and it has been picked up by media everywhere, and really alerts people as to what's going on with parental alienation. I would also like to tell all of you that if you can look at the movie Divorce Corp, a movie that was produced by Joe Sorge out of California. It has debuted nationwide in the last couple of weeks, but is available now on DVD. And really exposes the family court system for all of the faults that it has. If all of you are thinking that you're going into divorce and you're going to go into court and tell your story and you're going to have justice and truth and all of the things that you think the family court system represents, you're wrong. So take a look at this movie and really invest, if you're going through divorce, invest in your life, invest in your children, and make decisions with your soon-to-be ex-spouse. They're going to be proactive for you and your child. Okay, enough about that. I'll get off my soapbox, and let's go to Joyce and Brenda. Hi, you guys. How are you?
Good. I'm very excited to be on your show.
I am so glad that you're here, and you're both out in California, and the weather is good there?
Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. Wow,
80,
I'm glad.
Sunny and dry.
Boy, dry. I've heard it was dry. I interviewed a lady last week that was telling me she was in the Silicon Valley and telling me that it was dry as a bone and you guys were needing rain. We were going to do rain dances afterwards, but instead we got 16 inches of snow. So I don't want any of that tonight, okay?
Okay.
So let's talk about the book. The book, which is titled, again, The Shoe Garden and Other Shoe Stories, The Shoe Banter Collection. It's such an interesting concept, because who doesn't love shoes? Even my husband has an entire closet full of Italian wonderful shoes. There are some men who go crazy for shoes. So why shoes, girls?
Well, we love shoes. And we originally wrote it for our younger sister, who loves shoes and collects things about shoes, shoe pillows, shoe cups, shoe everything. So we thought for her birthday we would write a book about shoes. So that's how it started. And we also love shoes and love the idea of shoe as a metaphor for life.
Yeah. So what we did is Joyce basically came up with the idea first, and she came to me and she said, I want you to write, it was for our youngest sister Ivy's 50th birthday. Uh-huh. And so what I did is I wrote 50 little stories. It took me about a year, and then I gave it to Joyce, and then she added the illustrations, and that's pretty much how it all started.
But Joyce, how one day were you just driving along and you thought, I'm going to write a book for Ivy about shoes. How do you come up with the idea?
That is a really good question. Well, because I like to make gifts that are personal and special for that person, and it was a big birthday. And so I thought, and Brendy and I have collaborated for many years on many projects, and she was the only one willing to work with me on this, and I thought it was too big for me to do myself. Mm-hmm. So we collaborated, and it took a long time to get it together. And then
once you started,
it took off and evolved and has become a brand and many other stories, and noticing how people reacted to the original book has informed how we've developed the next stories as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joyce and Brenda, and I want you to follow each other. What's your real day job? What do you do when you're not being an author about shoes?
Well, I teach art at the high school, and I also teach piano and voice privately. So, and I have taught kindergarten, so mm-hmm. I have a wide range.
So you're all of the things that you bring to the table really fit into this project very well. The art and the kindergarten and all of the things that you've done really lend itself very well to this project.
Yeah, right. And it's interesting, my day job the past number of years has been working as in the corporate world as primarily an executive assistant. And, you know, it's interesting when, you know, primarily I was an artist. I was a choreographer for 20 years and a dancer and a performer. But I have had to support myself in this other manner. And I didn't realize until we started on this big project, you know, the Shoe Banner Collection, how those skills that I acquired in the corporate world, I was able to, you know, utilize in building the whole Shoe Banner Collection brand. So it's interesting how, you know, you think these day jobs you have to have, you know, to keep a roof over your head, you know, you wonder sometimes why you're spending so much time in it. And, oh, my God, it was this experience that really showed me how valuable those day jobs have been. Because, you know, Jill, we've been working on the Shoe Banner Collection for about 5 years now.
It isn't it funny how long things take sort of to evolve? And I'm an immediate gratification kind of girl, and I think you two might be too, just from hearing the way that you quickly respond and your voices. And it seems like sometimes things take so long, but isn't it great to be able to apply what you've learned in other places, in other jobs, in other scenarios to this project?
That is
absolutely
so true. That is so true. And so, and the book basically evolved because the collection that we've been creating was not something that was quite as tangible that we could easily sell. And it's basically started where we were simply finding, you know, we're still looking for commercial representation.
Mm-hmm.
So when we realized we needed something more, touchy-feel, if you want to call it that, we took some of the work that we've already developed and it evolved into the four stories for the Shoe Garden book.
Well, let's talk about the Shoe Garden book, because if you just said it to someone, it's like if I said parental alienation to someone. You have to go through a whole kind of, you know, description of what that means. Or if I say, I just opened a blow dry bar. And if I say blow dry bar, people get the funniest looks on their faces. And I know you know because you're in California and you have them there.
Right.
But in the Midwest, we're very sheltered. So when you say Shoe Garden and other shoe stories, tell me, give me your explanation of what the book means and who, what is your demographic or target audience?
Hey, Joyce, do you want to take that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We thought it's geared towards children because of the simplicity of the concepts and a few words on each page. So it's basically a poem that each section is illustrated. And the four different stories evolved from different experiences. And the way I work is I kind of sit on an idea and I wake up and it's there, you know, so I sit down and write it.
And oh, my gosh, we're so much alike. Very much alike.
And our skills really complement each other. So, but and the response we've gotten is children love it, and they seem to especially love the story about butterfly shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It just ignites the imagination. It's very colorful. But also, especially women who love shoes, because it's a whimsical kind of book, it has that kind of universal appeal.
Right.
So let's talk about, there's four segments of the book. One is Shoe Garden, one is Shoe Dreams, When Shoes Can Fly, and Butterfly Shoes. Let's talk about how those four separate areas came to be. Is there a story for each one?
Yes, there is. Joyce, I'm just going to start, but then, you know, you need to jump in. So Shoe Garden basically started because Joyce has a lot of shoes. And she simply saw them on the bottom of her closet. And as creative people do, we tend to see things differently than maybe non-creative people. She just looked at those shoes and she saw a garden. And it literally came from that inspiration. Joyce, do you remember what the Shoe Dreams inspiration came from?
Also Shoe Garden, I had a friend who had twin girls.
Right.
And I thought of things that come in twos. And I thought of two baby girls and all the shoes that they would collect in a lifetime.
Oh.
So it developed from that.
Just on a side note, before you go on, don't forget where you were. I had a foreign exchange student for 3 years, a Mexican boy who was a championship pitcher in the championship Little League World Series. He is now 32. He just had twins. I sent him a box of tons of little girls' clothes, and they were absolutely gorgeous. But the thing that I was most proud of, two little sets of shoes with little cat faces on the front. They were so cute. They just sent me a picture today of the little girls wearing the cat shoes, and so I was so happy. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
How cute.
That's cute.
Yeah. Shoe Dreams, that literally just came to me. I woke up and it was there. And I thought, I loved the rhyming idea of it. I was dreaming about shoes. And When Shoes Can Fly, how did that come?
That was because you saw a commercial that was something about that when pigs can fly, and you went to sleep. It was right before you went to bed. You went to sleep. You had this dream, and you woke up. You literally, I think I was in Cleveland at the time, and you woke up and you caught, and you said, oh, I've got this, When Shoes Can Fly, and you wrote something, and then I edited it and tweaked it, and it just evolved from there. That was When Shoes Can, that was just from that commercial. But Butterfly Shoes is a great story. Joyce, do you want to talk about the butterfly shoe inspiration?
I was going through old photographs, and I had made a costume for my niece, Rachel, and she wanted to be a butterfly, so there was a picture of her in this costume I made. And the butterfly wings were as large as she was. And there she was standing with them all spread out. And I thought, how wonderful. And how wonderful if we could have butterfly shoes.
Oh, I love that.
Just from looking at the photographs. But, you know, ideas come from everywhere. From every angle, if you just keep yourself open to it. And because we've been thinking so much, you know, about the Shoe Banner brand, oh my God, the ideas are constant.
So Ivy, your younger sister, it was her 50th birthday, and this was a gift to her, in essence, right?
The original one was, yes.
The original one.
The first collection, it evolved into a collection that we call Souls and Hearts, is that right, Joyce?
Yeah.
Yeah, Souls and Hearts, S-O-L-E-S and Hearts.
Souls and Hearts, I love that.
Yeah, so that was that, and that there are 50, I think it's actually turned out to be 52 stories, and each one is illustrated. And then we have, that's Souls and Hearts, and then we have Collective Souls, and then Shu Haikyu, which is so, I love Shu Haikyu. We have 35 Shu Haikyus, and they're just, some are funny, charming, thought-provoking, you know, all of that.
So
and
give
then,
me one. Give me one haiku. Can you give me one now?
Oh, Joyce, can you give her one?
Oh,
come on, you guys.
I'm sorry. I'm
575.
Okay.
Something about step into your power.
Ooh. Well, you think about look it up. See if you can find it while we're on here, and then I want to hear a haiku before we end.
She has access to it. I love the funny one. There's a couple of really funny ones.
So when you presented this whole thing to Ivy, was she just flabbergasted that you had come up with this idea?
Well, actually, she wasn't. So Ivy, you know, she's our youngest. You know, we have, there's four of us. There's one older, and Ivy's the youngest. And
the older one is a sister as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all 2 years apart. We're all very, very close with one another. And Ivy, you know, she's very quiet, and she didn't really take it at first. She didn't, you know, it took her a while. But since we've been growing with this whole project and evolving, you know, the original book that we produced for her, we actually revived it, and we brought it back, and I spent another 6 months editing it and making changes, and Joyce made changes in the illustrations, and, you know, we really put a lot of work into it because first it was just a gift for our sister, and then we realized, wait a minute, I've got something here that could be commercially so viable. But I knew we needed to bump it up. We needed to just make it stronger. And actually, Ivy has embraced the whole concept since then. She's helping us with our one of our next projects, which I don't know if you want me to mention it, but the postcard.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the next two projects that we're working on, we're so excited about. There are two more books. One is called Running Shoes that Joyce is the author and the illustrator, and very excited. She's been working on the illustration right now. And the other one is a very unique project that we got started called the Shoe Banner Postcard Project, where we have friends and family throughout the country that have been distributing these postcards that I put together, basically asking the questions, if your shoes could talk, what would they say? And we're gathering fantastic stories. I mean, that has evolved into an incredibly inspiring story. Just one little story is we met this woman who was a mom of a best friend of somebody, and she was much older woman and elderly, and her best friend had recently died, and apparently a few months before her best friend died, she wrote a poem, If I Was a Shoe.
Oh.
Something about If I Was a Shoe, and she asked them to put it in the funeral program when she died. It's fascinating. So, but we've got, I mean, funny stories, quirky, all kinds of fantastic. So the Shoe Banner Project is turning into the second book, and that will be, you know, from both. That'll be designed and created by both Joyce and myself.
And that project, how are you going to make the decisions on what you choose? Because I would imagine you're going to be inundated with really great stuff.
Yeah.
So how are you going to weed that out?
we'll come to that bridge. We'll figure it out. But Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Ah,
yeah, Volume 2, exactly. That's a great idea. Volume 2. But, yeah, this great story that we're collecting. But we're excited. There are two books. Hopefully they're going to be published in late spring, summer, you know, as soon as possible. We're working hard on it to keep the momentum going on this, and we're real excited about it. So Ivy is helping to distribute these postcards where she lives, which is in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Uh-huh. So it's become sort of a family project, which is incredible.
Yeah, family and friends. Yeah, they're everywhere, back east and south, Midwest, Southern California. You know, everywhere we're collecting a lot of stories. And people are mailing them in. I have a mailbox where people are mailing the postcards, and hopefully we'll get some artwork also that we can include. That would be exciting.
And, of course, social media has to be one of your best friends at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people have to be looking at your Facebook page and your website and saying, wow, these girls are doing amazing things, and we want to be part of that. Because, again, shoes are something that everybody wears and everybody has in common. But I would imagine your followers are probably 95% women. Would I be right on that?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yes.
Yeah. On our Facebook, it's somewhat more mixed than I thought it would be, but primarily correct. It's women from all ages, background, economic, demographics. Everyone's has a story.
And the most interesting, the most universal thing about it is that the shoes really are a metaphor for life. The journey of life.
Well, and
that's
let's
really
talk about that. Let's talk about the metaphor of life. How throughout the books, how do you tie shoes to life experience?
Well, we talk about how the adventures that people have in shoes that imagine running in these kinds of shoes. What kind of person would wear this kind of shoe? Why would you select it? You know, and that the shoe, like we have another collection of collected soles, and it's about how a leather sole knows what it's like to walk around in someone else's skin. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I always think it's funny when I talk to people who say I'm a vegetarian or I'm a vegan and they're wearing leather shoes and a belt. I think that's a very funny thing because they don't understand. Yeah. So embracing shoes and what they represent is a way to teach children about the different aspects of life.
Right.
Right, exactly. Like in some of the illustrations, for example, like in the first story about Shoe Garden, you know, we've distinctively have illustrations there of like older people, younger people, you know, the whole diversity of the different people that wear different shoes and different reasons, and like there's the elderly person who's walking with a cane or things like that. So. Just to, remind children that, there are many different kinds of people out there.
Sort of using souls as a metaphor for – souls, S-O-L-E-S, for a metaphor for our souls, S-O-U-L-S.
Correct.
There might be less social negatives coming forth, like bullying and preconceived judgment of characters and potentials. So,
exactly. Empathy.
Empathy, big thing. And so empathy, life decisions, life cycles, those things are all affected by how we walk through life, in essence, right?
Exactly. And also, a lot of the stories, especially, when shoes can fly, a lot of it is just to see something differently than you normally would see it, especially like butterfly shoes, And so it's all, so a lot of the book is also just to open a child or anybody's mind in, shoes and what they can be and how that can, emphasize in other parts of your life. It's just supposed to open up that creative spark in somebody.
Well, I mean, a creative spark in anybody, really a child, is a very, very important thing. And I think when you do it through something so elementary as a shoe, how incredible is that? How do you think we can encourage children to see shoes in a different way?
Oh, Trish, do you want to talk about the teacher guide that you wrote?
Well, we do have a teacher guide that's available on our website. To go with the Shoe Garden book. And one of them is to either collect shoes or get shoes out of a magazine and have children write about the people who would wear those shoes.
Mm.
And, you know, and just experience it. Also, the different sounds that shoes make, the different sounds that people make when they're walking. So it really is about walking in someone else's shoes and having that experience and understanding it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you could go from, you know, there's a rainbow of shoes that you could, from homeless shoes to,
exactly.
you know, people who don't even have shoes to
exactly.
to children in Africa. You know, I mean, I can see so many different ways of approaching this concept. And I'm thinking as I sit here, I ride a spotted saddle horse who has a gait. She's a five-gaited horse. So she has a different way of walking and wears a different shoe than a normal horse has. So there's so many different ways that you can apply this sort of shoe idea to many different aspects of life. And I just love it. I mean, at first blush, you think, wow, shoes. And you kind of chuckle at the sort of the way that you've tied it together with this children's book. But it is very, very deep. And there's so many layers to this.
Exactly. Yes.
We also give 10% of our profit to Souls for Souls.
And what is that? What is that? Is that a 501(c) that you support?
That's an organization that gives shoes to people who don't have any.
How interesting.
Throughout the world, for a lot of the, tragedies that keep happening everywhere. They're based in Tennessee. Wonderful organization.
Tell me the name one more time.
Souls for Souls.
Have you talked to Tom's about the book?
No, we haven't.
I mean, I think Tom's shoes would love you guys.
You know, that would be great.
Yeah, I think
great
Tom's
idea.
Shoes would love you guys. And as I sit here thinking about this, there's a fundraiser, and it's nationwide, but I know we have it here in Springfield, Illinois, the capital of Illinois, that is Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. And men put on women's high heels and walk.
Right.
But I'm thinking, wow, what a great book for you guys to have at these fundraisers to try to promote and work towards getting it out there. I mean, I can think of a million things that would work for this, and you guys really getting some great promotional stuff done. So we need to talk about that after this interview.
Yes, definitely.
So what kind of research did you do to get, I mean, do you have psychological background in tying the shoes together with life experience, or how did you get the research done to make the book what it is?
That's a good question. Joyce, do you mind if I start? And
I don't mind at all.
Okay. So, as Joyce mentioned earlier, we've been working together forever, for many years. And you can almost call our life, you know, theme and variations, where you can give us anything that we're working on. It doesn't matter what. And we've just developed the skills in order to learn how to develop it. And, you know, as we mentioned, you know, about how it all started with creating this gift for our sister Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing with this book. It was just the research really just comes from keeping all your senses open, your eyes, your ears, you know, just being engaged in life and paying attention. And it's amazing how the ideas are just come to you if you're open to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's this whole what I say a lot, you know, live with an open mind and an open heart. And when you do that, especially as a creative, it's amazing the amount of ideas that just keep constantly funneling into you if you embrace it. And the important thing is to keep it documented so you don't, you know, it's so easy to have ideas to sort of get, you know, tossed out. You forget about them or, you know, you just, mm-hmm. it's hard to grasp them all because we're constantly always coming up with so many ideas all the time. But a lot of it is just being engaged and open to it, you know, constantly.
And also we've both have been trained to think creatively. Brenda mm-hmm. in dance and choreography and myself in visual art and somewhat music. So it's natural for us to think that way.
Right, because one of... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes?
No, you go on, Tracy.
Well, and going back to shoes, because I'm very, very petite, I have always used shoes to kind of enhance my appearance, you know. Especially when I taught kindergarten, as the kids got taller, my shoes mm-hmm. did also.
So you were elevating your self-esteem, sort of, because
exactly.
you were smaller, you needed to kind of raise it up.
Right. And it was with building confidence. From
right.
the outside.
Yeah, building confidence,
yeah.
absolutely. Yeah, shoes,
yeah.
I mean, when you put on a pair of pumps, and red ones. If you put on a mm-hmm. pair of red pumps, you feel like you could conquer the world.
Right, right. And you know what's also interesting, Jill? We all, you know, as we were evolving into this, you know, I primarily, you know, I do a lot of writing, and we started thinking of some anecdotes that have happened to us related to store, which is, you know, the whole concept of shoes. Can I share two of them with you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Joyce, do you mind if I share the one about you and the working as a waitress?
No, that's great.
Okay. So that was a really interesting one. Joyce was working as a waitress at a department store, and nursing shoes were part of the uniform, and she hated them. And she said, I'm going to be gone before I need another pair. And unfortunately, she did need to get another pair and had to stay longer than she thought she would. But what she learned from it was that sometimes you have to adjust from your experiences. She did eventually leave, you know, when the circumstances were right, and it didn't mean that she failed, but it just meant that she had to readjust her goal. And it was mm-hmm. the whole lesson was based on these nursing shoes from this uniform, from this job that she just hated. So that you know, so it's like that was one really good story that made us start to think of different ways of seeing shoes. And then my favorite story is when I was 8 years old, they wanted me to go on point shoes. And, you know, I don't know what it was, Jill, but there was something in me, even as a young kid, I was like, I knew I did not belong on point shoes. And, you know, and I was pretty little, and I knew point shoes would make me be really tall, but I just didn't want to do it. But, you know, when you're a child, you just do what you're told or else, right?
Right.
So,
right.
And also, yeah, and so, you know, and I felt bad. I didn't want my mom to have to spend the money on the point shoes. But anyways, finally did it, and I was in class not even 5 minutes, and it was so painful. I actually just stopped. I walked out, and before I walked out, I just said to the teacher, life is too short for this much pain, and which now every time I talk about it, I just laugh, you know, because I'm like, oh, my God, was I really that precocious of a kid? But it was okay, you know. I was, you know, I remember I was worried I was going to get in trouble, but she actually, an instructor, respected how I felt, and she never pressured me to wear toe shoes again, which was, you know, in my head, I knew that was the right decision. But so that lesson was, you know, life decisions for children can revolve around shoes and what they can or cannot do in them. So that was also part of our research, was just thinking in our own life and how shoes have affected us or not affected us. And then when you talk to other people, it's, you know, it's not, even though women do love shoes, it's really not just about style. It really goes sometimes much deeper than that.
Yeah.
One of the collections that we put together were these videos. And one of my favorites is this woman, it's a quick short story of this woman who wore these pointy shoes, even though they were hurting her feet, just to seduce the guy at the diner, you know, something like that. So I actually put together a little video about it. which is they're all on our website. But, you know, it was really just about paying attention, not just to our life, but to everyone else's. Is there anything you want to add, Tracy, or?
No, but I did find the haikus.
Oh, good.
Great.
Oh,
great.
I want one. Let's
so
hear it.
If I could read two of them. One is
yes.
running up the steps, my shoes creating rhythm, arrive at the top. And the other one is shoe banter with friends in endless conversation. It's universal.
Oh, they're perfect.
That's two of the
perfect. I like that. I've always loved haiku, and I think that a haiku about shoes. Oh, my God, it's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, we have some of them on our website, so you can see some samples of them.
Now, is there an independent publication with the haikus in it? There is, right?
No, unfortunately, there isn't. That's part of this whole journey has been, you know, we thought we were going to try and sell the work on our own, you know, through cards and posters and all that. And, you know, we just had to come to the reality of having, you know, we both have day jobs and time really is limited. So we thought it made more sense to put our energy into trying to find commercial representation. Mm-hmm. So we're still doing that, but meanwhile, we're still just trying to publish these books and just keeping the energy going out there as much as we can. So unfortunately, even though you can't buy it now, we hope someday very soon you will be, and we're working very hard to make that happen.
So are you self-publishing now?
Yes,
we are.
You
are?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And, well,
and learning about that world.
And, oh boy, it's quite a... Yeah. Quite a
and I'm also... And then the one other part that I'm really hoping to complete is I'm writing the book about this journey. And you know, that's obviously going to take much longer, but that's turning into an incredible story. So maybe, hopefully, that can open up some doors.
Good. I want to talk about a story that you posted on your Facebook page about Johnny Depp. Do you recall that story?
I do.
I talked about that because I think that's kind of interesting. So let's talk about somebody really famous is talking about his shoes. So what did he say?
Yeah, it was to the gist of he was being interviewed on the Bravo Actor Studio. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the show, there were students that were asking him questions. And someone asked him about these shoes that he wore that had duct tape all over. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, a lot of duct tape to keep it all together. And he just said very quietly, he said these shoes have been with him forever, and they're his best friends. And that's what I can remember. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. But
But don't we all? I mean, his shoes became his loyal friend. The shoes took care
exactly.
of him on his journey,
yeah.
and he took care of his shoes, wrapping them in duct tape so they could keep on going. And I have shoes like that. Don't you have shoes? I have shoes that I had in eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I actually have a pair of jazz dance shoes that I would not let go, and I still have them 30 years later, and they have duct tape.
I do, too. I'm 52, and I have shoes from eighth grade. So, you know, there are shoes that are very special to somebody. I have a pair of riding boots that I have, lace-up ropers, that I have worn for as long as I can remember. And only because they're comfortable, I know them, and they know me. You know, and they won't betray me on a horse, and I know that. So it's just... You get comfortable in things and with things, and I think shoes are sort of taken for granted sometimes. There are women who I know who will buy Jimmy Choo's, you know, for $3,000 a pair and put them on, and they don't fit, and they're not comfortable, and they still go out in them, and they still try to move forward and persevere in them. But you can see in the pictures when they take them that they're not comfortable and they're not happy. So it doesn't matter how much they cost. It could be a pair of shoes that you've worn since you were in eighth grade, and those are the shoes that put that smile or look on your face that shows contentment and happiness.
That's so true.
I don't know. It's shoes are a funny thing. And there's so many men that don't understand that. And with Valentine's Day coming up, you know, men are out there trying to find something that's going to make their girlfriend or wife happy. And really, all they probably need to go buy a pair of flip-flops from Old Navy, and that will make them really, really happy. So what do you hope that your readers walk away with from the book? What was your goal in writing it?
Well, we hope that they have a little more insight and thoughtfulness about their own shoes and their own path and journey and how they go about it. But still with kind of a whimsical eye and a whimsical, like, step, you know, that as serious as life can be, it can also be really fanciful and whimsical mm-hmm. and fun, you know.
Absolutely. It can be fun. Well, I want to share with you something. I was writing a piece for a group that I was president of at that time, and it was a Mother's Day greeting. And I looked for something, because I love shoes, and I knew that, and I looked for a poem or some statement from someone that they had written about being a mother without her children. And I came across this particular writing called Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. So I'm going to read you that, and then I want to read you what I wrote in response to that. So the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes says this, and it was written by anonymous. There was no name. I am wearing a pair of shoes. They are ugly shoes, uncomfortable shoes. I hate my shoes. Each day I wear them, and each day I wish I had another pair. Some days my shoes hurt so badly that I do not think I can take another step. Yet I continue to wear them. I get funny looks wearing these shoes. They are looks of sympathy. I can tell in others' eyes that they are glad that they are my shoes and not theirs. They never talk about my shoes. To learn how awful my shoes are might make them uncomfortable. To truly understand these shoes, you must walk in them. But once you put them on, you can never take them off. I now realize that I am the only one who wears these shoes. I'm not the only one who wears these shoes, I'm sorry. There are many pairs in this world. Some women are like me and ache daily as they try to walk in them. Some have learned how to walk in them so they don't hurt quite as much. Some have worn the shoes so long that days will go by before they think about how much they feel the hurt. No women deserve to wear these shoes. Yet because of these shoes, I am a stronger woman. These shoes have given me the strength to face anything. They have made me who I am. I will walk forever in the shoes of a woman who has lost a relationship with a child. So I read that. And I was supposed to write a piece for the newsletter. And so I wrote this. I love shoes. Pumps, sandals, tennis shoes, and boots. Shoes of every shape and color. But I own a pair of shoes that I would have never purchased for myself. The color is not right for me. These shoes are too narrow and they are very small. They hurt. I wear them every day and I cannot take them off. I have to keep walking and waiting actively for the day that I will walk to my front door and my children will be standing there with a soft, fuzzy pair of slippers that will replace the uncomfortable shoes that have bound my feet for years. This is the walk of an alienated mother, the gait that's sometimes unsteady and there is much difficulty moving forward. It's almost as if the shoes were made of concrete. The thoughts and memories of the mother that we once were to our children propels us through another day, another week, another year. What almost seems like an eternal marathon can never end soon enough. There are many who wear those fluffy slippers today, and I will wait patiently for the day that I can slip into more comfortable shoes and take a walk with my children. This Mother's Day message comes to you from the bottom of my heart. So that was something I wrote. And when I remembered that, I had to get that and read it to you guys because I thought, you know, shoes are a very important part of lives. And the walk that we take is so important each and every day. And you never know how someone is walking, as my eyes are tearing up now, as someone is walking through their life, you don't know what shoes they're in. And you don't know what their walk is, and you don't know how the difficulties have stressed them that particular day. So you always have to be aware of that, don't you?
It's so, absolutely. That's beautiful what you wrote.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Thank you. I had to. I mean, I had to because when I knew we were doing the shoe thing, I dug it up. I couldn't find it, and I thought, you know, this is so apropos to tonight. But there are so many people who are going through so many things, and I think, you know, your book is geared to children, but you have a theme that's bigger than that. And
Thank you for noticing that, Jill. We appreciate that.
Well,
that you see it more than what it is, which is great.
Well, and I think people are going to slowly, as the kind of sort of onion is peeled back, you know, the layers are peeled away, people are going to recognize that you have something here that's showing them about a life project and not just about a shoe or about their child or about, you know, it's about the whole ball of wax. And I think we need to get you guys out there and let people know that you're writing something that's really apropos to their lives each and every day.
Right.
I have one more haiku.
Oh, let's go.
It's universal. Shoes are for everyone. They protect our souls.
Ooh. I like that one. And you're saying
story.
Souls, S-O-U-L-S, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, how do we find the book, guys?
Oh, so it's on Amazon.
Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
And your website.
There's also a link from our website, shoebanter.com. There's a link to the Amazon place where you can order
it.
Okay. And you are probably print on demand, right?
When they order,
it's printed immediately, which is great with Amazon. Love that. It's wonderful. So shoebanter.com, and I want to be clear, shoebanter.com, because that's hard to explain.
Yeah.
And
there's different pages on the website, and the one that's called that says store, that's the book. That's where all the information about the book is right there.
Good, yeah, and I love that you can see some of your wonderful illustrations. They're just beautiful. I mean, the book is beautiful and so appealing to the eye. And when my 7-year-old niece Molly, who I call No Rules Molly, loves your book and actually sits still and reads it back to me and looks at it twice, that's a big statement. So No Rules Molly loves it. She's endorsed it. So you're good. But I appreciate you both being here, and what a great idea, and I just hope much success for both of you and for the series. And when the next one comes out, love to do another interview.
Oh, thank you so much, Jill. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
Well, appreciate you guys. And I think the first thing you do tomorrow is you get a hold of the person from Tom's Shoes. And, you know, this is a book that's sent out with every pair of shoes that they give away.
Oh, that's
a
great idea.
You know, yeah, absolutely. So let's get this going. I mean, you guys, you have a gold mine here that you're not capitalizing on. Let's go.
Well, thank you. We're trying.
Okay.
We're trying. We are trying. We're learning fast and furiously, that's for sure. You know.
Have to. You have to, don't you? You have to keep up with the pace of everything. So great idea, great book. Run, don't walk to Amazon and order this right now for your child. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking, too, is there have to be some great women's boutiques who need gifts for children. That, you know, I have one here, Top Drawer. My dear friend Amy Ryan owns Top Drawer, and she's got some great shoes, and she has children in there all the time, and this would be such a great gift to give to kids when they're in the store. So women's boutiques too. So let's think about it. Come on, you guys.
All right.
Great. Thanks, Jill.
You're welcome. I will wait for your next interview, and congratulations on such great work, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you, Jill.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, girls. This is Jill Ajeezy, and thank you for listening to Family Matters. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Brennan?